Country Club FM.
Hopefully by Friday we've got a special treat here for you on the Bob Almanac, being as we speak put together by my staff. Today is Wednesday, January 3rd, third day of the year. Our patent of the day today, 1871. Oleomargarine was patented on this date, and boy, was it tasty.
Mm. It's my sweet, creamy butter.
Nope, that's chiffon margarine.
Chiffon margarine? Oh, no, it's my butter, all right.
Chiffon fooled even you, Mother Nature.
It's not nice to fool Mother Nature. If you think it's butter, but it's not, it's chiffon.
Gosh.
That was so good.
Margarine. Oleomargarine, patented by William Bradley, Binghamton, New York, 1871. It's come a long way since then. They've got the now I can't believe it's not butter. You got your shed spread and smart balance and many of the other maybe healthier options than the real butter. But I think real butter is still better as long as you do it. You know, you're not eating it a stick at a time.
Right.
You know,
my dad was a big Oleo. Got to get the Ole. Get the Ole.
So what was your brand then?
Parquet? We were, for a long time, it was the shed spread, right? Was that kind of in the, you know, grayish green tub?
I don't know if shed spread was around when you were kids.
Well, this would have been
about when you were kids.
When I was a kid, let's see.
When your dad was the big Oleomargarine guy.
Yeah, it was Parquet, I think.
Yeah.
That's kind
with
of what we
Senior Wences doing the commercials with his talking mouth and hand.
And for the last however many years, it was always, I can't believe it's not butter.
Well, Fabio. I mean, that's why you got it, right? Because he was the spokesperson for
right, it. Right, I'm sure it was.
Fabio. In 1920, this date, it was the beginning of the curse of the Bambino because the Reds. Oh, speaking of the Red Sox, did you see Big Poppy, David Ortiz?
What about him?
Apparently he's having a kid, and they did a gender reveal, and so he had like a wiffle ball bat, and they tossed him a ball that would reveal the blue or pink for the boy or girl.
Right.
Swing and a miss.
Whoops.
He whiffed. Doesn't the man have 500 home runs?
Yes, beyond.
Yes.
Yeah, that's too bad. So we don't know then.
No, we don't know then.
Right, he whiffed.
No, so it'll be a mystery.
Okay.
That's the way it should be. The parents already know. That's a reveal just for the friends so they can feel special.
So friends of ours, I know, about to become grandparents. The due date was yesterday, and nobody knows. The mom did not want to know. It's in a sealed envelope. Right, it's old school. It's in a sealed envelope, and they haven't, and the only one, you know, she has total control. She said, I'm not finding out. So everybody's going to find out at the same time when the baby is born.
Hermetically sealed?
It's very rare in this day and age.
Hermetically sealed?
Yes, it is, I'm sure.
In a mayonnaise jar. Right, Funkin' Wagnalls porch.
Right.
So this was the date that the Red Sox sold Babe Ruth to the Yankees for the paltry sum of $125,000, although 1920, of course, that's big money,
right.
$125,000, plus a $350,000 loan. The Red Sox needed money.
Yeah, they needed cash.
And the rest is, of course, history. Let's move on to 1957. We had our first ever electric watch. Well-known watchmaker and company Hamilton released and introduced the Hamilton Electric 500.
Wow.
So it wasn't, it's electric, it's battery. You didn't plug it in and walk around and have to find a plug every time you wanted to check the time. But the Hamilton Watch Company, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I go, I think maybe I had a Hamilton at one point, but then I realized, no, that was an Armatron, which is a little bit more in my price range back in the day.
Yeah.
But Hamilton was more of a high-end watch and very collectible to this
day. I wonder how big the battery was at that point.
It's a good point. A good question. It'd be fun to go back and look and see, because eventually they did develop the watch batteries.
Right.
And maybe one of those thin little watch batteries, maybe that was invented just for this use.
Yeah,
who knows?
Maybe.
I don't know. We didn't look that far into it because we have other things to move on to, like this.
With national and Alaskan officials present, he signs the proclamation using six pens for the historic document.
Six.
It's Six pens represent all the number of fingers he has on his left hand. Did you know Eisenhower had six fingers?
I didn't know that.
No. But anyway, Alaska became the 49th state of the Union as signed into law by Dwight D. Eisenhower, this state, 1959. Let's jump all the way ahead to 83.
Big opening for Tony Dorsett. Look out, he's got great speed.
99 yards and a half.
Dorsett down the sideline. Stays in bounds.
Can you believe that?
Short. Because they're 99 yards.
Short yardage defense.
The three-man booth there. 99 and a half yards. Dandy Don had had a few.
Yeah, he probably had.
That was at the Metrodome. The field was all wet because the dome had collapsed earlier. And they fixed it up just in time for the season-ending Monday night football game at
Howard
the Metrodome.
Was in the booth.
Vikings won it. They needed a win to make the playoffs in 82.
Yeah.
And they did. They actually won the game, but the highlight was the Tony Dorsett. And didn't the Vikings have too many men on the field? Didn't they have... I thought they had 12 men on the field for that play, and they still couldn't make the tackle.
I think you're right.
We had some bad tackling there in the secondary. Yeah. John Turner, Willie Teal.
Not known for their tackling.
No, no. Or were they known for their great coverage?
No, it was average.
Yeah. They were more about the 3-4. Maybe were they running the 3-4 defense then? Doug Martin?
Yeah, maybe.
James Duck White?
Right.
Anyway, that was the state in 83. Long run at the Metrodome. Same day, very same day, 83.
Now, what can Judy win?
A chance to win up to $25,000 in cash.
That's right. In our brand new game, let's go right back here and play Plinko.
Plinko debuted this date. Is that one of your favorite?
It is.
Pricing games from
For
The
sure.
Price is Right?
Right on. I love Plinko. Who didn't like Plinko?
Plinko is fantastic and somewhat dangerous because those Plinko chips, they can ricochet and carom.
Right.
I think several of Barker's beauties have been injured over the years because of an errant Plinko chip, but Plinko still played today with Drew Carey as the host of The Price is Right. And that's so long ago, that's even before Bob Barker stopped dyeing his hair. When he was still with the brown look. And then eventually later on, he did just give up on that and went gray.
And he looked good.
And silver. Yeah, he looked fine. He's Bob Barker.
Right.
1993, more football.
And then Steve Christie nails it. Nails it. The 32-yard field goal. The greatest comeback in the history of the National Football League. In the regular season or the playoffs. A stunned Warren Moon can only wonder, why me? The Bills never had a group of men work
Do
so
you
hard.
Remember where you were when you, did you watch the comeback?
Yes.
I remember watching
I
that game
too.
And I used to care about other NFL games other than just the Vikings. Frank Reich, who was in for the injured Jim Kelly, they were down 35-3 early in the second half to defeat the Oilers in the playoffs.
Right.
And of course, they'd eventually go to the Super Bowl where they would lose to, and lose big, to the Cowboys again.
Again.
That was the biggest NFL comeback until last year, Neil.
Yeah, the Vikes.
Vikings were down 33-0 at half. Came back to beat the Colts, but of course the Bills is still the largest postseason.
Yeah.
And it obviously means more.
I would say yes.
Than a game during the regular season. But that was a big thing. That was a big deal with Frank Reich and the whole thing. And then Frank Reich, he had also, in his college career, he was the guy who had the largest college football comeback ever.
Oh, I didn't know
As
that.
As a college quarterback, yeah. Can't remember where he played in college, but he had the largest comeback in the NFL and in NCAA. How about 1996?
Why is everyone so excited about Motorola StarTech cellular phone?
You talking to me?
It's the smallest and lightest cellular phone in the world.
It's got everything.
I call this the smart button, and it can scroll through my whole phone book.
The Motorola StarTech was announced. Did you recognize that voice at the beginning?
I didn't.
Lee Trevino.
Oh, it was.
Were you listening closely?
Yeah.
Were you listening closely or on your phone?
No, I'm not on my phone.
Are you on your Motorola StarTech?
Yeah, I'm on my bag phone.
Why is everyone so excited about Motorola StarTech cellular phone?
You're talking to me.
That's truly the Mary Max.
Yeah, it is. Now you can hear it.
He's the spokesman for Motorola and Toplite. And so that's the first clamshell flip phone, the StarTech, went on sale 1996, and it was so small. I remember seeing them, and I go, God, how can they be so small? And now they've gotten bigger.
Yes,
it's funny how
gone the other way.
Cell phones were huge. They were, you know, these in the bag phone, if you will, these big brick phones. And then they got real small, and then they got bigger so you could use it like a computer screen.
Yep.
They sold 60 million of those babies.
Wow.
And the price was $1,000.
60 million.
Which is kind of right in line with what the most of the top line smartphones are and go for now.
Yep.
About a grand.
Yeah.
That was back in 96. 2004.
There it is, the number one song in the USA on American Top 40 for the fourth week running. Hey Ya by Outkast. And there you have them.
The 40 there you have it, Casey Kasem's last American Top 40. He handed the hosting duties to Ryan Seacrest after the show that aired this date in 2004. He started the show in 1970, left it for a while. Shadow Stevens did it.
Yes,
and then he
that.
Came back later in the 90s and then wrapped it up in 2004.
You could hear his voice there. He was getting
right.
a little long in the tooth.
Long in the tooth, no doubt about that. Yeah. And it just seems kind of weird to have Casey Kasem introduce Outkast.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy who, you know, introduced the Carpenters.
Yeah.
And so forth, Debbie Boone.
Right.
And then later Outkast. On, he's doing the number one song, it's Outkast.
Yeah, no wonder he was ready to hang it.
I would think so. So that was the state. And then there was the controversy about his death, of course, which is kind of weird. And then this was just, now one thing you got to do now, we're in 2024, you got to change the math.
Yes.
You have to subtract from 24 instead of 23, so 5 years ago.
And China has made history, successfully landing on the unexplored far side of the moon. The Chang'e 4 probe touched down on Thursday in the largest, deepest, and oldest crater on the moon's surface and transmitted images back to Earth.
Why in the world would China want to land a probe on the far side of the moon where we can't see them? Hmm?
Yeah.
Any idea?
Yeah.
What are they doing over there?
I don't want to know.
All right, we have birthdays today. Dabney Coleman still with us.
Oh, nice.
By the way, have you ever heard of strychnine?
Strychnine is a poison, I think.
Yes, it is a poison. I was just on the phone to the hospital. Evidently, they found traces of strychnine when they pumped out my stomach yesterday.
What? I thought you told me you just hit your head.
I had to be sure, because I think you need evidence like that if you're going to accuse somebody of murder.
Murder?
Oh, no, they're trying to get rid of their boss, aren't they?
Uh-huh.
In 9 to 5, Dabney Coleman was that sleazy boss. 92, he was in a lot of things, and I didn't even know this until I started looking at the list. He was in Yellowstone. He played Kevin Costner's John Dutton. He played John Dutton Sr.
Oh, I didn't know
In a
know
couple
that,
of
yeah.
flashback scenes when he died and when they kind of talked. That was Dabney Coleman. I was watching the show and I didn't even realize that was Dabney. He had a hat on, so it was kind of hard to tell. But Dabney Coleman.
Well, yeah, he was what? Well, been almost 90 years old.
Yeah, he would have been right around 90, 89, 90, somewhere in there. Yeah, 92.
Got out of town on a boat on a southern Arabic.
Great voice.
Steven Stills, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Buffalo Springfield, Solo. This is my favorite Crosby, Stills, and Nash song.
It's a good one.
Southern Cross. So Steven Stills is 79. More music for you on the keyboards with Led Zeppelin. Play a little bass, too. John Paul Jones. He has not yet begun to play the keyboards. Little Cashmere. That's a rock anthem.
That's a rock
right
anthem.
There, certainly. John Paul Jones.
He's a Hall of Famer.
78. He was one of the Ewings.
Why? Why do you care?
Because I'm a Ewing now. This family is so full of guilt because your daddy ran away. They let you run wild. Well, babyface, that won't work with me.
Victoria Principal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pam Ewing.
Lovely lady.
Oh, yes, she was. Mm-hmm. Dated Andy Gibb there for a while. That's how lovely she was.
Yeah.
74 today. Of course, we've been talking about Mean Gene Okerlund, another pretty good wrestling announcer. More ringside play-by-play than the whole interview and promo part.
Stone Cold is shaking hands with Satan himself. For the love of God, someone tell me this is not happening. It's happening.
It happened at Stone Cold. Jim Ross, WWE, started out in the Southeast with Crockett Promotions and then went on to fame with the World Wrestling Federation, World Wrestling Entertainment. Jim Ross here today, 72. Jim Everett. No, wait a minute. Mel Gibson. Maybe Mel Tillis. Where's Jim Everett? Jim Everett, the former quarterback. Remember him?
Oh, sure I do.
You may have even been Jim Everett back there, but somewhere along the way, Jim, you ceased being Jim and you became Chris.
Well, let me tell you a little secret. That, you know, we're sitting here right now, and if you guys want to take a station break, you can. But if you call me Chris Everett to my face one more time...
I already did it twice.
You call one more time, we better take a station break.
Things are getting heated. Jim Rome was a jerk.
He was a jerk.
Wasn't he a jerk?
He was
just
a jerk.
Just prodding him, calling him Chris Everett. Jim Everett, the quarterback. Remember him best with the Rams. He was a decent quarterback.
He was.
He got some things done.
Yeah.
And we're a little out of order here because Jim Everett here today. And again, the math is just unbelievable here today. If you were born in 63 and it's 2024, so he must be 61 then.
I would think so.
Wouldn't you say so, 61? How about Mel Gibson?
Oops. You ever met anybody you didn't kill?
Well, I haven't killed you yet.
Well, don't do me no favors.
Riggs and Murtaugh, weren't they a great combination?
They were one of the best.
Mel Gibson, The Patriot, Mad Max, so many.
So many of them.
He is 68 today. Winnie Cooper.
Winnie.
Hi. Did you get my message?
This is your order?
I knew it was the only way I was going to get to see you tonight.
Kevin Arnold's girlfriend on The
Wonder Years.
I know you didn't know who Winnie Cooper was out of the bat, but now you do. Danica McKellar.
Yeah, I know she
is. And, of course, cue up the Benny King and Stand By Me. That's probably the best thing of Wonder Years was the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Eli Manning.
Since retirement, I've been trying a lot of new things. With Frank's Red Hot. It's the perfect blend of flavor and heat.
He puts that bleep on everything, Neil.
Yeah, he does.
Eli Manning is 43, and she's going to save the world. Greta Thunberg, environmental activist, 21 today.
Oh, very nice.
Save us from ourselves,
oh,
Greta.
Oh, thank you so much for what you do. Gone but not forgotten today. We're going to start with our former First Lady of the day, the Mrs. Calvin Coolidge. You knew her as Lady Grace. Grace Coolidge, born on this day, 18.
What's her real first name?
Grace.
Was Grace?
Yeah. Grace Coolidge.
She's Lady Grace.
Well,
Lady Grace sounds pretty cool.
It does kind of sound cool. 1879. J.R.R. Tolkien. He wrote The Hobbit. And The Lord of the Rings, I think those both turned out pretty good, book and movie form.
Movies are long.
Yeah, they are.
I don't know if I can even, at my accelerated age, I don't know if I can get through one of those movies without dozing off.
Or at least going to the bathroom. J.R.R. Tolkien, two R's there, 1892.
Not me, my bladder. It's fine.
It's fine. 1905, the actor Ray Milland was born. I loved him in Dial M for Murder.
And that just happens to be the clip that we have.
Oh, nice.
Before you came, Inspector, he was trying to persuade me to go to the police with the most fantastic story you ever heard. Apparently, I bribed Swan to murder my wife so that, correct me if I go wrong, Mark, so that I could inherit all her money. And that isn't all. You remember Mr. Halliday's letter?
Another Hitchcock thriller.
Yes. Dial M for Murder. It was Ray Milland starring in that movie, an Academy Award-winning actor, born on this day, 1905. Very funny keyboard, piano player, comedian, Victor Borga.
Almost as funny as John Paul Jones.
Hell yes.
The music sheet was upside down.
It was a great bit. It was hilarious. He was very skilled, too, at the keyboard and the piano. Pianist and comedian Victor Borga, born on this day, the year was 1909. She's one of us, the middle of the Andrews sisters, Maxine Andrews.
Under the apple tree, with anyone else but me, anyone else but me, anyone else but me. No,
Jump
no, no,
blues, they call it.
Under the apple tree, with anyone else but me.
On with Laverne.
I come marching home.
And Patricia, or Patty, the Andrews sisters. Born in Minneapolis, Laverne, 1911. Maxine's birthday today, 1916. And then little Patty, born in 1918. Again, all in Minneapolis. Jim, 80 million records sold. That would be pretty big in this day and age.
That's a nice run.
That is a great run.
They were a big deal.
They were certainly were. Maxine Andrews, born on this day, 1916. He was hated by Viking fans everywhere after January 4th, 1970. Hank Stram was the coach of the Chiefs.
And how dare he make fun of Paul Kasulke?
Right. Or Carl Kasulke.
Carl Kasulke. I think of Paul Krause. I'm putting those two together.
Right.
But he was making fun of the Viking secondary.
Yeah.
Because they had him running around.
Right.
And they left and right with their, like, chickens with their heads cut off. Right. And they were.
Come on, Lenny. Pump it in there, baby. Just keep matriculating the ball down the field, boys.
Lenny Moore.
Remember the play?
Yeah, the something trap.
The 65 toss power trap.
Yeah.
Couldn't stop it.
Couldn't stop it. We got run over. Unfortunately, the Vikes were the favorite in that game. It would be the first of four losses in the Super Bowl. Hank Stram was the mastermind of that one for the Chiefs, 1923.
When you four-putt, you matriculate the ball across the green.
Yes, you do. Sadly, I think we've done that. Sergio Leone is a movie director. I worked with Clint Eastwood, and they're doing a big Clint Eastwood weekend here coming up on the INSP channel.
Why not?
Fistful of Dollars, A Few Dollars More, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. He did all those spaghetti westerns, they called them, 1929. And The Golden Jet, father of the Golden Brett, Hockey Hall of Famer and a Blackhawk for, I don't know, maybe his entire career. That's certainly where I remember him. The great Bobby Hull, one of the finest goal-scoring forwards in NHL history. Born on this day, 1939. They're all gone, but not forgotten.
I want to say, wasn't he lured away by the WHA?
Yeah, I think he was. He went somewhere, Winnipeg or someplace.
Ridiculous contract to try and get in there.
Dough.
Your staff forgot one, Robert Loggia, great actor.
Oh, no, it's sweet. You like it.
I don't believe you.
Well, then who would you believe?
I don't know, Robert Loggia. Whoa, Robert Loggia!
Billy, your mother's right. New Minute Maid orange tangerine tastes great. It's got as much calcium as milk.
If you say so, Mr. Loggia.
Yeah.
He was Tom Hanks' boss in Big.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was often a military man, including Independence Day, and you should recognize the voice.
I do recognize the
actor,
voice.
Robert Loggia.
And now I know who that is.
1930.
Yes.
He was the coach in Necessary Roughness.
Yeah.
2015,
he had a large,
passed away.
A large nose, as it seems to me.
Well, that was he and Carl Malden.
It was impressive.
Kind of in the same league.
It was impressive.
Yes, so Robert Loggia. Now they're all gone.
Gone, but not forgotten.
Here comes a Bobathon, Liza Jane, Vince Gill, Wade Hayes, old enough to know better, Clint Black, and a better man.
I'm intrigued. Wade Hayes today.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDB.